If you'll turn in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I want to speak to you this morning. Whatever situation you need help in, God can help. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Amen. He is. He's able to help. That's one thing I love about God. Whatever I need, that's what He can be to me. Whatever situation I need help in, He can be in that. He can take care of it because He is the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verse 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Your God is saying here, I'm going to give you all this stuff. Here's what He's saying. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, God, that you just speak to every heart here today. Lord, you know every situation. God, you know what each one is going through, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just encourage them today and help them and bless each one, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Can you give him a hand clap of praise? Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. Whatever situation you need help in, my God can help. Hallelujah. Moses had began the mission of leading the children of Israel to the promised land. But he died before he got there. And after Moses' death, the Lord spake to Joshua, and the Lord told Joshua that he was going to take over as leader in getting the children of Israel to the promised land. It's not an easy task. But you see, folks, what the Lord told Joshua, he told him that he was going to be with him just like he was with Moses. He told him wheresoever he walked, he would give him that land. And he told Joshua that nobody would be able to stand up against him. And he went on and on. When you read in verse 7 and 8, the Lord gave Joshua the key to being successful in this mission. He said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of all the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God's saying, look, I'll be with you. Nobody will come against you. I'll do all these things, but we have our part to do, don't we? Amen? And in verse 9, the Lord wrapped up all these sayings by, in Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, he let Joshua know that if he would stay in the way that he had been taught, if he would stay true to the Lord in all these things, if he would make sure that he kept his eye on the truth and not veered off track, then the Lord would be with him whithersoever he went, and that he didn't have to be afraid of anyone or anything. You see, folks, a lot of times, a lot of the things that come our way, we wonder, what in the world's going on? This Christian thing is frustrating sometimes. It's hard. Have you been doing your part? Have you been staying courageous and strong and trusting in God? Have you been reading his word? Have you been praying? Have you been working for the kingdom of God? He said, Joshua, if you'll do all these things, come on. So often we're like, gimme, 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 gimme. Come on. What are you doing? Well, God, I get to church every now and then. What are you doing, though? Well, I get to church every now and then. But what are you doing for me? Amen? See, God wants to help us in every situation. He wants to. God wants to bless us. So throughout this lesson, I want you to begin to seek the Lord for whatever you need help with. We have today, I'm sure, there are situations, and I know some of them, and I know where people are at here today. And if you haven't let me go, that's your problem. If you haven't included me in, let me be your pastor. But I know what my God wants to do. My God wants to help. And I want to help you today to understand that God wants to help you, folks, but God expects us, amen, to do the things that we're supposed to do. I want you to go, when we go through this, let's seek the Lord for those things that you need help and begin to believe that he is going to help you. Joshua was on a mission. He was on a mission to get to the promised land. And he had a promise that the Lord would go with him and help him all the way through, amen, no matter where he was or what he was facing. Here's the thing, folks. God said, I want to help you, Joshua. I want to be there for you, and I will be there as long as you do what you need to do. Every one of us, we have the same promise today. You hear me? I said, every one of us, we have the same promise that Joshua had here. Take your finger and point at yourself. Say, me, I have that promise. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's thank God for the promise today, folks. Thank you for that promise. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every one of us have these same promises. We're trying to make it to the promised land. And I hope that you are trying to get to the promised land. He said, if we'll keep his commandments and if we'll stay in the way, he will be there to help us the whole way through. Now, I don't know about you, but I need his help. Don't you? I need God's help every day. I face things all the time, and sometimes it's hard to handle on my own. But I'm glad to know that he is a help in every situation. Come on. You know, one of the things that frustrates me in this day and age that we live is incompetence. Folks, if you could hear My wife probably could tell you some story, but man, I get frustrated when you go through someplace and you order this and this. I was at a Dunkin' Donuts the other day, or a few weeks ago. My wife just loves Dunkin' Donuts hash browns. Okay, she loves those things. So we were out and about running around, and we were hungry, so we pulled in there, and she wanted a sandwich and a coffee and definitely hash browns. Well, I decided I just want a sandwich, and the lady says, "You want anything else?" She looked at me straight, and "Do you want anything else?" I said, "Yeah, give me a hash brown." And as I'm pulling, you know, I go out and get in the car, there's only one hash brown in my bag. And I told my wife, I said, "I can't believe this." She goes, "What?" I said, "She asked me specifically, do you want anything else? And I didn't get my hash browns." I said, "I'm sick of incompetence." "Oh, calm down. Have some of mine." "I don't want to eat yours." "I got them for you." But that's how it is today, isn't it? Incompetent. It's just so frustrating. You go, and you walk in a store and you say, "Hey, there's a worker." You find out, you know, they have the blue jackets on, whatever they have, or whatever, wherever you go, you can tell. You find somebody you know is a worker, right? Can you tell me where this is? I don't know. Really? You see, but we've got an access to a God that's not incompetent. Amen? He's there to help us when we need help. Amen? My God is not incompetent. He's more than able. The Bible says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think. That's how my God is, folks. I could ask him, say, "God, can you move in this situation?" And you know what my God likes to do? He likes to blow my mind. Hallelujah. He is a dependable God. Hallelujah. He is able to do the job that he is asked of to do. And he will do the job if we will let him. He is a dependable God. Amen. He is a help that will not let you down. When you look at the story of David, when David went out to face the giant named Goliath, this is a prime example, folks, of dependability of our God. You see, David was a young man, and David volunteered to fight this 9-foot giant. That's a tall person, 9 feet tall. And he was wearing a lot of armor. David didn't want any earthly armor. But David just wanted the protection of his God. Do you know why David didn't want any earthly armor? Anybody? David didn't want Saul's armor. Because the Bible said that he had not proved the armor. You see, in other words, David had never worn the armor in battle before. He didn't try it on and say, "Oh no, maybe this different size or that." He had never worn it in battle before. That armor had not been proved to be dependable to David. And whenever you are about to face a giant, whenever you come up against a situation in your life, folks, I'm telling you today, you want something that is dependable. Come on. You know, when you get up and you go out there and you hit that key on your car to go to work in the morning, you're hoping that car is dependable. And when we find our car has given us several problems and we find out, "Well, I hope it starts today." What do we start doing? Looking for another dependable car. And when we come up against life's problems, we want something that is dependable. You see, even though we're not always dependable to God, what is it when problems come in our life? Oh, Jesus, help me. Or you're calling somebody, will you pray and ask God to help me? You're looking for something that is dependable. And we know that our God is dependable. See, David said, look, I don't want this, Saul. I've never proven this. But I know someone who is dependable. And I'm going out to face this giant. And he's going with me. That armor had not been proved to be dependable. And whenever, folks, we face these things, we need dependability. But see, David had this positive proof that the help of the Lord was dependable. And he told Saul, folks, he told Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of this hand of this Philistine. You see, he tried the Lord before, and God helped him. He knew that the Lord was dependable help in his time of need. And David grabbed up five little smooth stones, and he went out into the battlefield, and he said to this giant, he said to this problem, this situation that came up in his life, in 1 Samuel 17:45, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord, in the name of God. He is dependable. He's never let me down. He's always there in my time of need. And David took out one of those stones, and he slung it at the giant. And I believe, folks, that the faith took hold on that rock and slammed it into the forehead of that giant. And when that giant fell, David ran over. He took the giant's sword out of it, and he cut the head off his giant. Now, such a convincing win. It was so convincing that all the other Philistines that were looking on, the Bible says they took off and ran. You see, folks, it wasn't David's fighting ability. It was the dependable power of God that slew that giant. Amen. He's dependable, folks. God is dependable. I want you to know that today. He said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. God said that he would not leave you in the battle by yourself. He's not going to leave you to fight a giant, amen, in your life by yourself. He will be there. He'll never come too late or too little. Amen. He'll never come, amen, and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. He'll be there with whatever you need or whatever situation you find yourself in. He will be there, and he'll be on time. It's more we could say for some of us. Amen? He is dependable. He's able to do the job. When I say God is able, he's able to do the job. I mean, he is completely capable, folks, of helping you with whatever you have need of in your life. Can you say whatever? Whatever. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who just thinks or says that they can do the job. In Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen, there are riches that are untold of in heaven. And that is what he uses to compare the ways that he can supply your needs. He is able, folks. God is able. And I'm talking about someone with a proven track record. I want to ask you today, does God have a proven track record in your life? Can you look back like David has and say, there was a bear. But my God helped me out. Oh, and by the way, there was a lion. And you know what? God took care of that situation just like he did the bear. And there was this, and there was that. Amen. But in every situation, I praise and thank God he was able. He was there. He met the need. He took care of it. And if he did it back then, he'll do it right now. He'll do it now. He's able. While Jesus was here on earth, he went about preaching the truth. He went around performing many, many works. More than once, we read of him raising the dead. He made the blind to see. And he walked by those that were lame, and they began to walk, amen. And he helped those that couldn't hear to hear again. He helped the deaf to hear. He made the dumb to talk. He delivered many from devils. And he healed the crippled. And he healed the blood problems. Many, many miracles did our God do on this earth. But not only did he heal, not only did he deliver, but he provided. Amen? He provided. We can read of where he fed 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and they were all filled. And the Bible tells us there were 12 baskets full left over. He provided. He sent money to Peter, so he could pay his taxes in the mouth of a fish. You see, folks, God is concerned of every area and every aspect of your life. He wants to be a part of every area, every aspect of your life. And so often we're so good about keeping him out of certain areas. And when certain things come up, we're like, hey, God. And he says, hey, you know what? I can not only help you in that situation, I can help you over here. You just stay out of there, God. But he's a provider. He wants to help. He wants to bless in every area and aspect of your life. You see, he sent... fed these 5,000 people and 12 baskets left over. He gave Peter the tax money in the fish's mouth. And the list goes on and on and on, folks. And I don't think he's only that powerful back then. I think he's still the same God today. My Bible tells me he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is no respecter of person with God. If he did it then, he'll do it now. Hallelujah. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Because he's able. He is able. You see, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. What are you committing to God today? What have you committed to God? Is there every aspect of your life committed to your God? Every area of your life, is it committed to God? Because that's what he's going to take care of. All those things that are committed to him. Remember, God told Joshua, I'll take care of you. I'll never leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll be there in battle. I'll be wherever you go. If you'll do these things that I ask. We're so good about asking God to help out in things that we won't commit to him. Amen? Come on. Maybe I need to park here a little bit, huh? Commit it to him, folks. Give it all. It'll all be better for it if you give it to him. He can do far more with it than we can. Look what happened when he took, that young boy gave him that those fishes and those loaves. Maybe they took all those 12 baskets, or at least took one of them over to his house. But he started out with just a couple. See, it was far better giving it to Jesus, committing it to God. What is it today that you're holding back from God and you won't commit to Him? First John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I ask you today, who is in you? Is Jesus Christ, is He in you? Who is in the world? We know the devil is the ruler of this world. And we can see the effects of it everywhere we look. You look at Mark 1, Mark 5, Mark 9, and many more scriptures show us examples of Jesus casting out devils out of people. You see, folks, the devil can't stay around when the Lord's around. Who's in you? Who's in your home? Who's in your finances? Who's in your relationship with you? Who's helping you at your job? Are you working your job as unto the Lord? Do you give your boss all kinds of fits because they asked you to do something? Shame on you if you do. You need to work that job. And just like when your boss comes up and says, do this or do that, you just say, thank you, Jesus. That's just work, Pastor. Is God in your, the ruler of your work situation? Did God give you that job? Is God in a part of your desires and the things that you want to do? Do you seek Him for all the things that you desire? Well, I'll deal with that later. Is your home, all of your belongings, is God a part of all that? He should be, because we need to commit these things to Him. Amen? Amen? Did you know, folks, that the devil can't do anything to you without getting permission from the Lord? It's the truth. If you are living upright, if you are trusting in the Lord for your help, the devil cannot touch you without permission from the Lord. Come on. So, after that being said, and you're complaining about the problems that the devil's supposed to be causing, is God saying, check out my boy right there. Devil, you think, oh, Adam, buddy, put it to him, he'll still live for me. Or does the devil even have to ask God to get you? Come on. You see, I think, you know, all those things that happened to Job, God was doing a little bit of bragging. Devil says, the only reason he serves you is because you bless him. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yeah, God, he only serves you because you bless him. No, he'll serve me. No, hey, I'll take everything away. Well, you take everything away but his wife. And you can't kill him. Okay, I'll show you. He'll serve me. Wouldn't you like to have God bragging on you like that? Come on. Well, I don't want the problems. Well, sometimes they just go with them. But see, there's just some maybe here, I don't know. It's your walk. It's your life. You know. But maybe God, maybe the devil doesn't even bother taking the time to talk to God about you. Because see, he can't do anything without God's permission. So keep this in mind. If you're here and you're claiming that you're living for God, you're doing the things that he's asking you, when you're going through it, say, I got to prove to God I'm going to serve him no matter what. I don't care what comes my way. God is still number one. I'm going to serve him. Amen. No matter what I go through, I'm going to serve God. So if you're living upright and you're trusting in the Lord for your help, the devil can't touch you without the permission of God. When you read Job chapter 1 through verse 10, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and showed evil. Pretty good guy, isn't it? And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. He had a lot of blessings from God. And his sons went out and feasted in their house, and every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with him. And it was so when the days of their feasting were going about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and are cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, Job didn't only pray about himself. He prayed for his kids. Amen. He offered sacrifices just in case. Now, there was a day that when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came in also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it. I'm telling you, folks, David, the enemy is walking around your life, seeing when he can get the opportunity to take you down. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? Here, God's bragging about him, folks. There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and has showed evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I want you to understand something, folks. God has a hedge about his people. There is a hedge about whenever you trust in your God. And unless the Lord gives the enemy permission, he cannot come near you. And if he does, allow the devil to try you. He's got the power to make the devil stop whenever he gets ready. Folks, that's the power that my God has over the enemy. Because my God is able. And the devil, folks, cannot withstand the power of my God. My God is able. Jesus is able. And I ask you today, are you convinced that he is able to help you? Have you proved to God like Job has, that God, I don't care what comes my way, I'm going to serve you? Job realized, hey, I didn't come into this world with anything, and I'm not going to leave it with anything. And he says, if we can trust God when he's blessing us, how come we can't trust him when evils come our way? He is able to provide and take care of us and meet our needs. And if you're going through it today, folks, you need to be more determined than ever to say, I'm going to show God that I mean business when it comes to living for Him. I'm going to let Him know, amen, I'm going to serve Him no matter what. Not just when it's good. That's easy to worship God when it's good. But how about it when things are going through, when you're going through it? How about it when you feel like you've been pounded by the enemy, folks? Can you just stand up one last time and lift your hands up to God and say, God, I love you no matter what I'm going through. I love you. God knows how to help. He has a perfect plan for your situation. He doesn't, folks, He does not need you to tell Him how to do it or what should happen first. You put that in His hands. You trust in Him. He knows the best way to help you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He knows how, folks. You don't have to tell Him. Amen. He knows how to help you. Amen. Did you know that the Lord knows everything about you and your life? Psalms 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, Thou hast stretched me, searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. He understands you better than you understand yourself, folks. He knows your situation better than you know it. He knows what you are going through. He knows what you are thinking. He knows what you are feeling. And He is an expert on you. Now, I know we don't like necessarily to hear that God, amen, that talks with the enemy. And He may take pull His heads back a little bit and allow the enemy in. But I want you to understand, God knows you better than you know yourself. And He knows where you need to be worked on. And He knows that if I allow this, it'll make Him better. Who better than to help you than an expert? Right? When you got a computer problem, you want the expert to fix it. You don't want just anybody in there. Huh? I had a situation. I text somebody. I said, I want my wonderful number one son's help. Yeah. You know, one time when we first took the church, my wife was at a ladies' meeting, and we had this computer problem. You know, we had all the computer books, all the bookwork on the computer, right? But every now and then, this stupid computer would just go blink. Drive me crazy. Be working away, blink, it just go off. So one day, when my wife was gone, it did it. And I said, I'm fixing this thing. I tore that computer apart. I never looked inside a computer before. I had it down on the floor, and my wife walked in. She went, what? What do you mean? She said, you don't know anything about a computer. I said, so? I'm just looking. You know what? She wanted an expert. I had no clue what anything in that thing. I couldn't tell you anything. All it is, I knew it was plastic around a bunch of stuff that looked crazy with solder all over it. And it had a screen in there. That's all I could tell you. But I fixed it. I did. I started pushing this and pushing that and tugging here. And I felt something. When I pushed on this one thing, went pop right in. It never blinked again. So there, honey. But see, folks, when we want something fixed, we look for an expert. But who better to fix in your life than God? He created us. Come on. Why do we want experts? Because they are the best of the best. They make the computers. Those that make them. Those that fix them. Those that build them. And they probably know everything that could possibly go wrong with it. But I want you to know God knows everything that could possibly go wrong in your life. Jesus Christ made you, and he knows everything about you, and he knows how to help your needs. And I want to know, are you convinced that he knows how to help you? You see, so we've seen that Jesus is a help that you can depend on, and we've seen that he knows how to help you. We know he's very well able to handle your needs. We know all these things. But he is willing to help you. He's willing to help you with your needs. Are you willing to let him? See, it depends on you. Psalms 37, 39 through 40 says, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." You can say, I trust him. I trust him. Did you know that God doesn't move according to your need? Hear me today? God doesn't move according to your need. God moves according to your faith. You see, we go through something and say, "Man, God, you need to really move here." If you want God to move in that situation, he needs to see your faith. That's what moves God, is your faith. Amen? You see, attached to the works that Jesus did, you see somebody who had faith. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and with faith touched the hem of his garment. Let me tell you something, folks. If she wouldn't have made it up in her mind, "All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment," she could have went up and wrapped her arms around him and nothing would have happened. She could have took his garment off and put it all around her and nothing would have happened. But it was because she said, "All I need to do is touch the faith at the hem of his garment, and I can be healed." She believed that if she could just touch Jesus, she could be healed. She believed. When you read in Mark 9, the man whose son possessed came and asked Jesus for help. Jesus told him in Mark 9, 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." You see, it's not your need, folks. There's many needs in this world. But not everybody trusts in God. Not everybody believes in God. That's why it's important for us to tell people when they have situations in their life and needs in their life, "My God is able to heal you if you will believe in him." And it's easy a lot of times for us to tell people, "Just believe in God, he'll heal you," until your situation comes up. And let me tell you something, folks. I understand it. That's why the body's so good, because we can go up there and encourage one another. We're so good at telling everybody else to do it until it comes to us. "Oh, God! Wait, didn't you tell me all you got to do is believe?" "Yeah, I know, but man, I'm really going through it." We need each other. God knows how we are. He knows that the church is a great thing. God created the church, folks, to get his people to heaven. Don't think you can do this on your own. You're not going to go out here and be an island or a lone ranger. You ain't going to do it without the church. Because God created the church. You say you don't need the church, you're telling God, that was a dumb idea. Come on. I dare you to tell God that. to him that believeth. Look at the story of the three Hebrew children. The king had been convinced of the power of God. And I want you to look at what he said to them in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. You see, folks, it wasn't their circumstance. It wasn't the need. It was that they trusted in him. They trusted that he would deliver them. They said, hey, king, we're not going to bow. Our God is able. And if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Even the king Nebuchadnezzar believed. The king that had set out to harm them could not deny that there was no other God that could deliver like their God did. Amen? Here's a message in a message, folks. Your unwavering faith in the midst of a trial, it can convince others of the power of God. That's why God sometimes allows us to go through. Maybe it's not necessary to teach you a lesson. Maybe it's not necessary to help you be better. Amen. Which I think will probably come out of the mix anyways. But maybe it's for somebody else to see what you're going through, to convince them to trust in your God. Sometimes we want to boo-hoo and whine, but I'm telling you, we need to stand back and say, God, I don't understand, but I know you're able, and I'm going to continue to live for you. But folks, sometimes we need to understand, this is not for me, it's for my family member, it's for my neighbor, it's for my coworker. If I told you that there was help right inside of the door, come on. If I said, look, you walk through that door and there's help, but you wouldn't go over and open the door, you wouldn't ever see that help. Because I'm telling you, folks, faith is the key that unlocks this door. Are you willing to trust him? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You see, I can just picture the Lord up in heaven watching every move that we make. And his ears are just waiting to hear one of us call out to him. You ever watch an old dog, old hound dog or something laying around? And noise hops in their ear goes, boop. Huh? What happened? They heard something. Boop. They probably didn't even open their eyes. Boop. Huh? Kind of funny, huh? Now, I'm not relating God to a hound dog, but folks, he's up there and he's waiting. I'm listening. I see what you're going through. But I'm waiting. Well, I shouldn't have to pray. God knows what I'm going through. I'm listening. I'm waiting for you to show me your faith. I'm waiting for that call. He's waiting on you today. He wants to hear you ask him. You see, it's not only God wants to hear you, but it's you need to hear yourself call out to God. You need to get rid of that pride that says, I can take care of this. So often we're like, hey, how you doing? I'm all right. You need to repent for lying. But I guess you could say you're all right if you're talking to him, because everything's going to be all right. Right? He's waiting. God is waiting. Whenever we call out to him, show him that faith. Get his attention. When you cry out to him, that gets his attention. He focuses right on you. He's not too busy to give you his attention. He is omnipotent God, meaning he can be everywhere all the time. Folks, you don't have to worry about calling on him and him being too busy for you. He's watching. He knows what is going on, and he is just waiting on you to call. Can we stand here today? I wonder if anybody here needs help with something today. Folks, listen to me today. Don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. Come on. I said, don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. The Lord will take care of you. He'll take care of it. If before you leave this building, he can take care of it right here, right now, if you will let him. Are you facing a giant in your life? Is there something you need help with today? I wish you'd come and give it to the Lord. You see, he's watching everything that is going on in your life, and he's just waiting to hear you call his name. Anything, folks, anything. He can help you with anything. Are you having family problems? He can help you. Are you having money problems? He can help you. How about your job situation? He can help you. How about your physical problem? There's sickness. He can help you. What about depression? What about discouragement? My God can help you. He's there waiting for you right now. Come on, folks. God can take care of your need before you leave this place today. This altar's open. You got a situation, he says, just ask me. Just show him that faith right now. Say, God, I'm walking up here because I know, God, you can take care of this situation right now, here today.